you know, when I think about, had God not hit me during the time before the drugs, I can't even imagine where I'd be. But if I just had to take a guess, if I just had to have a hypothesis, I know I wouldn't even be standing here today. So I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I am ecstatic. I am elated. I am excited. He didn't just allow me in his presence, but he took and he just hid me. He put me in that secret place to where the fiery darts couldn't touch me. Sickness couldn't kill me. My haters couldn't get up on me. There's something about the secret place that when I'm hidden, you ever just felt so unsafe? You didn't know what to do. But there's something about being in the arms of God. It is the epitome of safety. It is the equate of safety. It just keeps me safe in his arms. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a word from the Lord today. Amen. We serve an awesome God. It's all right. Give him some love. Give him some praise. Because he's awesome. Because he's awesome. Come and go with me to the book of the major prophet, Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and the second verse. Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 2. I'm only going to read one verse today. Amen. Amen. You don't got to say it out loud. I know y'all glad. Like I told you before, when we were younger, the shorter the text, we thought it was going to be shorter the sermon. I see somebody shaking their head. They don't like. But I'm not even going to say it. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. If you've been coming to discipleship, you know exactly where Isaiah is. But if I need to wait on you, holla, wait on me. Amen. Isaiah, also a.k.a. known as what? The weeping prophet. Amen. No, that's not right. That's Jeremiah. I'm just making sure y'all was on top of it. Isaiah 43, verse 2. If you have it, say amen. Amen. One verse. Here we go. Read it with me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Amen, amen, amen. I said, y'all a little quiet on that. That's why I wanted y'all to read it with me, so maybe it would sink in a little bit more. I'll read it by myself. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. That right there, that's a shout moment. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I want you to repeat after me. Grab somebody by the hand, look them right in the eye, repeat after me. Children, it's okay to say it this time, okay? Repeat after me. Say, come hell or high water. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We lift you up. Lord, we just want to magnify your holy name. Lord, we just thank you that you're always with us. We thank you for everything that's transpired thus far. We thank you for everybody within the sound of my voice. Lord, we just thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, we love you. We love you. Now, Lord, we ask that I decrease so that you may increase. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And Lord, let the word go forth with power, accuracy, and might. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for what belongs to you. name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. Come hell or high water. Amen. 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 Is there anybody here who's ever been in a tight situation? Amen. Not too many people. Okay. Okay, everybody here is having a great life, never had any problem. Anybody here ever been in what we call a hot situation? In football, when you yelled out the audible hot, that means somebody was probably getting ready to blitz. You were in trouble. You needed a hot route. You needed an emergency outlet because the quarterback was in trouble. Or if they loaded up one side of the line of scrimmage and you were running that way, somebody had to change something up because you know that play wasn't going to turn into much because the situation had gotten hot. Or maybe you were in a situation where it feels like you just can't ever get above water. It just, you know the old saying, when it rains, it pours. And a lot of times, as children of God, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Regardless of our predicament, regardless of our problem, or regardless of our plight, God is always with us. Some of us right here in here today, we're struggling with depression. Come on, amen, amen. Somebody in here, it's a struggle every day to get out to bed. Don't know why. Some of us have health issues. Some of us are grieving over loved ones that have gone on. Some of us just, for some reason or another, we are struggling with depression. Some of us feel so alone and we don't know what to do. And we feel like we're on an island all by ourselves. Some of us are so desolate and down, busted and disgusted that it is starting to impede and impact our conduct and our decisions. Some of us are just so down and out, and we smile and look good on the outside, but on the inside there's all type of chaos and rigmarole going on, and we can't even fathom on how to get out of the situations. Some of us are in difficult times and we feel like we don't have any assistance. We don't have any help. We come to church on Sunday and some of us on Tuesday, and we're going through the motions, but yet we don't feel like we're even remotely getting out of our situation. It doesn't matter how many human ears have been closed to your problems, how many backs have been turned on you in tough situations. God is always with us, come hell or high water. Sometimes we have the support of family and friends, but some of us are so down and out or have been in such a dark place that we don't want anybody trying to help us or encourage us. I seen a post on Facebook not too long ago where a person was telling his whole family, forget about y'all, leave me alone, I don't need y'all, leave me be. Family started reaching out to this person and trying to speak into his life and check on him. And he said, I don't want you to call me or text me. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear from y'all. Sometimes when we do have the support, we're so stuck in a state of confusion that we don't even want to be bothered. How many people here have ever heard of the term day ones? How many people heard about that? I'm going to educate you. I knew my young ones would know about the term day ones. Amen. Day ones. Day ones are people who you say you went from the baby crib with or the playground with, from middle school with, to the present time. Amen. Sometimes it's taken out of context, but they call them day ones. So if you hear a young person say, I'm rolling with my day ones, or I'm rolling with my vatos, or whatever the song says, it's just simply to mean they talking about their homies. That's somebody they think they can depend on. That's somebody they think they can trust. But the problem is that when things get thick, sometimes the day ones get a little thin. Amen. The problem is that, like the picture said, some of your day ones been jealous since day two. Amen. We rolling and smiling and laughing with people, and like the OJ said, they stabbing you in your back, all alone, waiting to take your place. See, so sometimes we think we have these day ones or these vatos or these homies and the crew and the clique and all that. And when things get real, we understand that they're not as tight as we thought they were. The problem with some of our day ones and homies and clicking the crew is that they don't always keep it real with us. Amen. There's some situations where, you know, if my breath isn't fresh and we're supposed to be homies, why are you allowing me to walk around talking to everybody and not keeping it real? Amen. Some of y'all need to tell your homegirls and sisters in Christ, that's not cute. Amen. That's a nice hairstyle. Soon as we get in the car, baby, you see that hair? We have to learn to keep it real. We're not always keeping it real with each other. Husbands, if it's not cute, tell your wife. You got to find a way to give her that nice little dose of medicine. Don't be rude. Don't get slapped. But learn to keep it real. Amen. We have to keep it real with people if we want to produce growth, if we want to promote deliverance, if we want to help people out. We can't always tell them what they want to hear. We have to keep it real. Amen. And I don't mean the world's version of real, to where we feel vindicated and we feel victory and just saying whatever comes to our mind. That's not always the spirit. Amen. But you get street credit and props and homie points if, oh, he tell it like it is. You can always count on him. But if you telling me like it is and I'm not taking it what you're giving to me, it will never benefit me. Amen. Amen. Keep it real, but let the spirit guide us. Which takes me to the next point. God will always keep it 100. Amen. He will always keep it 100. Let me break that down from a spiritual standpoint. When you got the little iPhone or the Apple, everybody hits that little red 100, don't they? Everybody, it's red. And if you, I don't know what it does on Android or whatever that thing's called, but for us Apple folk, you can hit the red 100, and that means it's the truth. That means I'm keeping it real with you. So 100 all day. Don't matter how many hundreds they put on there, 100 means it is supposed to be the truth. It means you can count on it. You should be able to depend on whatever was said previous to the red 100 is truth. One of the many things about God is that he always keeps it real. He always says what he means. It's written in his word. It never changes. That's the difference between our day ones and the Lord. Sometimes our day ones change a little bit. I got homeboys that I was cool with back in the day, and now they don't call me back or text me back. I don't know what it was, but and then I got some, I might not talk to them for weeks or months at a time, but if I call them, I know they will be there. Now, whether they ignore me on purpose or whether they're busy is whatever, but one thing I do know is that God is always available to hear me as his child. I can always depend on that. See, these are the things that we have to know when we're going through, because Satan wants to usher in doubt to make us believe that God is not there for us. The tougher the situation, the easier it is to doubt that God is with us. All throughout the Old Testament, we see that when the prophet comes to the children of Israel, they always start doubting and reverting back to their old ways when things get hard. The quickest way to find somebody not going to church is when they're going through tough times. Now, isn't that just the epitome of confusion? If things are getting rough, the first place we need to be is in the church house. Amen? Amen. If you saved and believe that Jesus is Lord, when things get hard, you need to be here on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays with the prayer team. Whenever the doors open and your schedule allows, you need to be here. But Satan wants to pull us away from our source. God always keeps it 100. Let me give some biblical support. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? How many people have some friends and day ones that if they say it, you don't even worry about it? You know good and well, you just learn to love them where they at, but as soon as it comes out their mouth, you know they lying. My grandma used to tell me, I said, Granny, what happened with this? What happened with you? He said, she said, Trey, I quit asking because I don't want to make nobody keep lying to me. It made sense. Because if you know you're going to get a lie out their mouth, don't make no sense to keep asking them. Amen. But with God, whatever he says, you can put your foot on the fact that it's going to happen. Amen. And if he says no, he means no. If he says not right now, he means not right now. 2 Peter 3:8-9 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Delayed doesn't mean denied. But if God has said it, and it's, you have to believe that it's going to happen. We have to put our foot on the fact and have our faith in position to understand that if God said it, if God promised it, no matter how long it takes, it will come to pass. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't care how grim and dark it may be. Just know that God is suffering with us and it's going to come to pass. But it's easy to become discouraged because we like to base things off how they look. We like to base things off how they look. How many times have you smiled, but your feelings have actually been hurt? How many times are you smiling to fight back the tears? How many times are you fighting to stay awake and look alert when you haven't slept in days or weeks? See, things don't always appear what they really are. But we can count on the fact that God will always keep it real with us. God will never fall short of his word. My next point, God is always with us. He's always with us. We've all had friends and family and day ones who have assured us without a shadow of a doubt, when the storms come, when tough times are there, when the wind is blowing, when life gets hard, they have assured us they will be there for us. How many people, 100 times out of 100, that's always been true when they've heard that? I didn't think so. Amen. Sometimes we try to do right and say we're going to be there for people and we mean well, but because we're human, we can't always do what we've extended ourselves to do. Sometimes we overextend ourselves. Sometimes we just say what people want to hear and not keep it real. But regardless of the fact, we've all experienced on both sides of the spectrum that friend, that day one, that person who you just can't count on. You've either been that person or it's happened to you. But what we have to understand is no matter what situation we're in, God is always with us. Isaiah 43:5 says, fear not, for I am with you. God is always with us. And it's not always other people attacking us. Even when we're doing stuff we don't have no business, and our family's sick of us, and our friends are sick of us, sometimes we're the reason nobody wants to put up with us. Amen. I'm going to keep it real right now because I know there were times I did some stupid trifling stuff and people didn't want to be bothered with me no more. But the only person who I know would never leave me nor forsake me was God. Jesus Christ. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Isaiah says, fear not, for I am with you. See, uncertainty always breeds fear. Write it down. Uncertainty always breeds fear. When we enter a realm that's unfamiliar, fear can seem and sometimes is inevitable. And here's an example. One night, Ina fell asleep down on the couch. I got tired of messing with her, so I went upstairs and got into bed. And then she came up there and hopped in the bed real quick. I said, what's going on? So later on that day, she said, I heard a whole bunch of weird noises downstairs in there. The floor was crickling and all that. These are the same noises that you hear during the day. But when it's dark and ain't nobody downstairs with you, you start feeling like it's somebody in the other room and somebody walking around up in here who's not. She asked me, did you come downstairs? No, I didn't. All I know is that in the middle of the night, she hopped in that bed pretty quick. You know, because it was dark and it was the unknown, and she didn't know what was going on down there. She said, I'm telling you, it sounded like somebody was downstairs. Well, the problem is that during the day, the TV's on, the kids are running around, and the same noises that the ice maker's making and the motor on the refrigerator, it's the same noises, but when you're down there by yourself in the middle of the night, it's a little unfamiliar. That's why a lot of people are scared of the dark. It's the same amount of steps in here if it's pitch black as it is if it's daytime. But when you turn the lights, I walked into church this morning, and it was dark, and it was a little different when the church is dark in the morning than when everybody's in here. I don't know how Terry and them do it, be up here at night, but I don't really want to be down there at nighttime. It was a little different walking in this morning. I said, ooh, you know, but it was unfamiliar. And then once I got in here and walked around a little bit, it was all right. But I was so glad when my family followed in behind me, so I wasn't in here by myself, amen? But when you don't know what the future holds or what the outcome will be, a lot of times that frightens us. When we can't control the outcome of something, we will lose sleep and become anxious and have all type of issues because we don't know what the future holds. But let me help you. But I don't have to worry about the future because what? I know who holds the future. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because God is already there paving the way for me and making sure everything is going to be okay. I can't see tomorrow, but by faith, I know that God already has tomorrow under control. I don't care what happens today, because if the Lord allows me to get through it, I know whatever comes through tomorrow, I'm going to be okay. The Bible specifically tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough troubles of its own. And you may have heard the story about the little boy on the train. If I've told it before, act like you haven't heard it. But he was on the train, and they was hitting some curves going through the mountains, and the little boy was just running around, and he was running around up and down, but the engineer was going real, real fast. And he just run around. The people start holding on to their seats, and they buckling up, and they sitting down, and they not moving, and the little kid is just running around. He just running around. Y'all remember that movie, League of Their Own? The little Stillwell was running up and down the bus, and he was running up and down the sideline. That's how I imagine this boy running up and down the train. Well, the more they were going through these curves, through the valleys and the mountains, well, just one wrong move, they felt like he was going too fast. So one wrong move, and everybody would have been flying off the cliff and would have been dead. So all the passengers were scared and frightened, and they kept, the boy just kept running around. He having a good old time. And they said, hey, you making me nervous. Sit down somewhere. Don't you know that we could die at any moment? Don't you see how fast we going? Why aren't you just scared a little bit? He said, I'm not scared because my daddy's the engineer, and he knows that I'm back here, and I don't got to worry about anything happening to me because my daddy is in charge of this thing, and I know we're going to be all right. God is in control of our lives. And as children of the Most High God, I don't got to worry about being derailed. I don't got to worry about being broken. I don't got to worry about being knocked down because God is in control. Whatever is going on, we have no reason to fear. We don't have to fear anything because our Father, the Bible says we can call him Abba. He is in control. Look around. Let's get a little church in God in Christ. Look around and tell somebody, fear not.
Fear not.
Come on, tell somebody else, fear not.
Fear not.
See, you don't have to fear not because you have been redeemed. See, Satan thought that he had us, but Jesus came back and brought us back. We don't have to fear anything. That's why they used to say Satan was mad, but I'm so glad that he missed the soul that he thought that he had. Satan thought he had us, but Jesus came and snatched us. Called by my name, and thou art mine, is what Jesus said. You've been called by my name, and thou art mine. You know, everybody's worried about who you are. Let's be more concerned about whose you are. I don't have to fear anybody or anything. God has not given me the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I don't have to be around here scared of anybody or any situation because God is in control. I should have said this first. This only is applicable to those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This only applies to those who believe that he died on the cross. This only applies to those who know that he rose on the third day. If you don't believe that, then this does not apply to you. My final point. God is always, always victorious. And we're going to finish up right here at the text. He's always victorious. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. He didn't say that we wasn't going to run into some bad situations. He didn't say that we weren't going to have some rough days and some rough nights, weeks, months, and years. But what he did say is that they can't do anything to you. Regardless of what it looks like, through God, we will have the victory. It reminds me of Calvary. And it looked real bad when they freed Barabbas instead of freeing Jesus. It looked real bad when they found him guilty and they started to pass him from judgment hall to judgment hall. It looked real bad when they laid stripes on him all night long. It looked horrible when they made him carry the cross up Golgotha's hill. It looked real bad when they started to nail nails through his hand and nails through his feet. It looked real bad when they put the crown of thorns on his head. But the prophet said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And they put him in between the two thieves. And the Bible says that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and he gave up the ghost. I'm telling y'all, it looked real bad. And then there was just this one moment before that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? It was that moment that Jesus took on the sin of all mankind. And God in that moment could not be in the presence of Jesus because he had become sin for us. And God will not dwell in the presence of sin. So in that moment, Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that moment, he gave up the ghost and he died. The Bible says that they pierced him in the side and blood and water came rushing out. Oh, the Bible says that his bones wouldn't be broken, but they pierced him to make sure that he was dead. I'm trying to tell you that it looked like it was over. It looked bad, and Mary was sitting there crying and weeping, and everybody was a little distraught because of how it looked. The Bible says that there was a great earthquake, and they took him down, and they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. It looked real bad, y'all. It looked like it was over. It looked like everything they had heard was not going to come to pass. See, sometimes we get discouraged because of how things look. The Bible says that he laid there all night Friday night. And he laid there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning. It didn't look good at first. But the Bible says that the stone rolled away. The Bible says that they were laid there like dead men. The Bible says that he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Oh, it didn't look like we had the victory, but we indeed had the victory regardless of what it looked like. Come hell or high water, God is with you. The Bible says that because you are mine, you're going to go through some dangerous places. You think the train is going to go out of control, but I want you to know that God is in control. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. Don't worry about it because you will never be alone because I'll be with thee. When you feel like you're getting getting in above the water over your head. Know that you won't drown because he'll help you breathe underwater. I'm not going to go through the waters because I feel like I'm in the fire. Somebody here feeling like I'm not in the water. I feel like I'm on fire, preacher. Well, let me tell you about a fiery trial. If you go through the fire, you won't get burnt up. You won't even smell like smoke. Your clothes won't even smell like smoke. Your hair won't be singed. Because he's always with you. I'm reminded of the Hebrew boys. And even though three of them went in, the king looked over and said, didn't we just put three in there? And he said, I looked over and I see a fourth one. And he looks just like the Son of God because he's always with you. The Bible says that they came out of there and they didn't have a smote on them. They didn't have a sense of smell on them. They came out better than what they were when they went in. Satan thinks that he can destroy us. And he could if we were by ourselves. But we have to remember that he promised us, that God said that no matter what we're going through, he promised to never, ever, ever leave us alone. He's never going to leave us alone. That's why they used to sing the song, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus, and he built me to still fight on. Because he promised never, never, he's never going to leave me alone. He said, I'm always with you. Donnie, when you're in trouble, I'm with you. When the vision tarries, while you're waiting on it, I'm with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, a lot of people, Joe, keep going. We're gonna finish it up real quick. He said, a lot of people don't know who wrote Psalms 23. Most of us believe it was a Davidic psalm. But there's some people who debate that. Because whatever they do believe, they know it was a man who went through some hard times. They know that he was in a situation. But see, some of y'all feel like you in the valley. Some of y'all feel like y'all in the low parts. Last week you was on the mountain. But this week you feel like you in the valley. You don't even know how you got to the valley. Because you was up here shouting and having a good time last week. Now you in here can't sleep. Now you in here can't eat. Now you in here not figuring where your next meal's gonna come from because you in the valley. The low place is the valley. And the enemy wants you to think that God is only with you in the mountain. But my Bible says that God is with me always, even until the end of the earth. I hear David saying that when the bear came out, because see, David was a shepherd. And when the bear came out in the middle of the night, he killed the bear with his hands. But later on, another night, way up on the mountain, somebody said that there was a lion that was staring down, and the light from the moon created a shadow. And the lion created and represented death. And that's why we believe David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Bible said that he grabbed that lion by the beard and ripped it in two. He didn't have to worry about it. He didn't even have a weapon. Because he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm with you when you can't pay your bills. I'm with you when you're in court. I'm with you when sickness won't leave your body. I'm with you when you're laid off. I'm with you when your kids are acting up. I'm with you when Satan's attacking you. I'm with you when you're depressed. I'm with you when you're bereaved. I'm with you when you wait no test to go. I'm with you when your husband acting up. I am with you. Look at somebody and say, he's with you in the valley. David said that when my enemies came up on me, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the presence of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. God is with us. Say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And then even when that goes on, I got my real day ones, Joe. I got my real day ones. Because I got the shepherd in front of me. Jesus Christ is in front of me. And then when I hear footsteps coming behind me, I got my bodyguards behind me. Grace, goodness, and mercy are behind me. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is always with me. He's the best day one ever. And he always keeps me. And even though Satan wants me, the Bible says that nothing, not anything, can snatch me out of his hands. And not anything, no matter what I do, no matter what I've been through, no matter what you've done to me, no matter what I've done to you, not anything can separate me from the love of God. So come hell or high water, God is with us. Praise him right now, because he's never going to leave you or forsake you.